Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Blake Creamer, and I'm going to talk about the biggest hot shots and have-nots of the last couple weeks. Let's get to biz. What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Blake Creamer. I will be your host. Please follow me over on Twitter /X at Blake Creamer AG. Also, Apples and Genos has an amazing Discord. I know the season is, you know, we're in the back third here, but there's lots of valuable stuff going on. You got to click the link in the description to get into the Apples and Genos Discord server where you can speak with well over 1,000 fantasy hockey legends. All right, so get your biscuits in there. Also, Apples and Genos has YouTube. You may be watching me there right now. And if you are, thank you for your service. Please give it a thummy and a likey. All right. Oh, God, I think those are the same things. I mean, a subscription. All right, help me out. But that's how we get from A to B. As you can see, I am here by myself again. And yeah, I am a little lonely. And also, I'm a little bit salty. I'm a bit of a salty boy today. This was a rough fantasy week. You know, I'm in a ton of leagues, as everyone knows. But yeah, this might have been my worst week of the season at the worst possible time as well. I'm fighting for playoffs in one league in particular, in a league that I care about. And I don't know if it's going to happen. So yeah, it's pretty rough. I mean, you know, we had Arizona with the perfect schedule and they put up some stinkers. Oh God, really rough stuff. I mean, you know, sorry, everybody. If you picked up some Arizona people, that was all we could do. Right. So I don't know, this week coming up is going to be good, but you know, as for the reason why I'm by myself here, I did mention last week about Nate's calf implants, and I have to admit that was not true. All right. That's a lie. The truth is Nate has recently completed astronaut school and his first voyage was the other day. So, you know, it's all classified. It's hush hush. So keep that between us. But, you know, Nate's a true cosmonaut and, you know, don't quote me on this, but I hear that he might be broadcasting from a lunar rover next episode. So that's something we can all look forward to. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I think what we're going to do now is get into some newsies, and there's not a lot of news, so this will be nice and quick. Actually, even before we get into that, this is going to be a quick episode in general because I didn't have a lot of time to prepare, so I'm just going to be winging it, really, and that's good news for everybody. All right, let's get into the news. John Tavares, who missed a game, he was, game time decision, missed the last game there. It sounds like his injury is minor, and he's going to be back in the lineup on Monday, as per Chief Keith. The head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He also did mention, though, that Max Domi, Timothy Liljegren, and Jake McCabe, they're all game time decisions. So that's an interesting piece because it's definitely going to have an effect on power play one. Liljegren was playing power play one. But I also saw a tweet where Toronto is now running five forwards there on their top power play. So they're just trying to get through it until Morgan Riley comes back. That beefer, that unit, that just complete thug Morgan Riley. But yeah. And it looks like Tyler Bertuzzi is the extra man on that power play. So if he's out there on your waiver wire, he might be a good pickup. I liked Liljegren as a pickup. I still sort of do, but if he's not getting that power play one, it's not as nice, right? Makes total sense. Good analysis by me. Let's move on. Arturi Lehkonen of the Colorado Avalanche. Just a FYI, he's moved down to line two now with Ross Cameo, Colton, and Miles Wood. All right. You got Wood? Oh, I don't know. Miles Wood, yeah, and Ross Colton. That's an interesting line there with Lehkonen. He still is getting top power play, though, and over 20 minutes here on Sunday. So he's still a go. He's still full go to me, even though Jonathan Drouin moved back up to the top line. You know, it is what it is. They could be, you know, switching back and forth throughout the season here, just trying to get some stuff done. Colorado pulled out a nice win there against the Coyotes. It was a long game first off, but a win they really needed. They were on a little bit of a slide there. But other than that, that's really it for the news that's fantasy relevant. So I want to get into these hot shots and have nots. Let's get into it. The first guy we got to talk about, How about back-to-back Hatties? Austin Matthews, buddy. This is crazy stuff. I mean, you know, I saw a tweet, so I'm not going to say it for my own, but this guy's a freaking cheat code for the NHL. I think this is the season everyone thought he might have last year. I mean, I predicted he'd get 70 goals. I don't think that was a hot take, right? This is the type of player that Matthews is, but I really do believe he was battling an injury. You know, it was well documented. He has issues with his wrist last year, but he's flying now, right? And, you know, we don't get a chance to talk about Austin Matthews too much here, but because obviously he's rostered and he's crushing, but let's dig into his metrics. So last five games here, 12 points, including 8 goals, 4 assists, just under 20 minutes time on ice, doing the thing, but yeah, elite metrics, like 13th overall in shots and goal per 60, 23rd overall in individual Corsi for, and 6th overall in the league in individual scoring chances for. That's, you know, that's what you would expect from an elite player, but he's also on 112 point pace right now. This guy's 7th overall in the league in scoring, and I'm here for it. He's one of my favorite players to watch, like 48 goals in 52 games. That's nice. All right. That's a 76 goal pace. I would love to see that. Like, this guy's a generational player in terms of goal scoring. He's the best in the league, no question. So yeah, shout out to Austin Matthews. Yeah, he's running hot with his shooting percentage. He's cooking at 21.3%. He was 12.2% last year. But again, I do think that was injury related. And he is running hot right now. Like, you get back-to-back Hatties. Like, you can't be like, that's sustainable. No, back-to-back Hatties is not sustainable, even for Austin Matthews and his beautiful mustache. But I don't know. this guy was being drafted way too low in draft season two. I saw him going at 7 in time, 7, 8, in and around there. That's crazy. So yeah, I'm happy for this. Austin Matthews is crushing right now, and let's move on. We got to talk about Connect Four, Travis Konechny. Yeah. Nate and I talked about him on a recent buy low, sell high show, and we talked about him as a buy low, and yeah, lo and behold, he's got 11 points in his last 6 games, right? And he's absolutely dominating out there. He's getting buku minutes there. I really do believe that Konechny is one of the probably the safest fantasy asset on that team, you know, because Torts does do some interesting things with his deployment from time to time. But yeah, TK is on a heater as well. Like, last 4 games, like, just time on ice, 20 minutes, 34 seconds, 21:58, 22:12, 23:09 in the last game against New Jersey. Sheesh. Like, you got to be on the ice to score, and this guy is getting a ton of minutes right now, and I love that. And he's back up to a 78-point pace, right? I think when Nate and I talked about him, he was on like a 66-point pace or something like that. So he's obviously crushing, and like, let's dig in a little bit on what he's been able to do here in the last 5 games. First off, you know, 10 points in the last 5, just under 22 minutes average time on ice. The metrics are, you know, they're not blowing the doors down, but they're obviously good enough. Like, 126 overall in shots and goal per 60, 98th overall in individual Corsi for, and 177 in individual scoring chances for. But I mean, everything else is pretty dang reasonable. Like, nothing about what Konechny is doing is unsustainable to me. I think that he actually has a little bit of room to grow still. Like, if you look at his power play production on the year, 6 power play points. That's what Konechny has. He has 53 points on the year, 6 power play points. That's wild stuff. I mean, Philly's power play is hot garbage. That's clear. I think they're second worst or third worst in the NHL. But still, 6? He has 6 shorthanded points as well. So what are we doing? This is crazy stuff. So I think there's a lot more room for him to grow on the power play. His metrics there are decent, right? No one's converting. So they obviously got to figure something out in Philly if they want to compete in any capacity. But, you know, he's really doing it right now. Owen Tippett's flying as well. So I love Konechny. Hopefully, you know, you have him, or you were able to acquire him as a buy low. I actually got Konechny in a full bangers league that I'm in. And it's great. Like, I just love guys that get this kind of deployment. And not only that, the underlying metrics with Konechny are decent as well. So there you go. Let's move on. We got to talk about Matchbox 20. Oh, God, we got to do it again. Now, greedy hound does the little old whale of something do. I wonder if Robert Thomas listens to Matchbox 20. I mean, I know that's just kind of an idiotic thought, but that's kind of weird. That's like Matchbox 20 Inception. Anyone following me on this? I don't know where I'm going with that. Why would anyone listen to Matchbox 20? I'm just going to throw that out there. Robert Thomas, like, did anyone see Office Space when the guy's name was Michael Bolton? And he's like, well, why don't you change your name? He's like, why should I change my name? He's the one who sucks. I wonder if Robert Thomas has that kind of attitude towards Robert Thomas of Matchbox 20. I don't know. These are deep thoughts. You know, we can get into that another time. But let's talk about Robert Thomas and what he's doing. He's kicking butt is what he's doing. This guy's 9 points in the last five games. St. Louis has been great. Power play has been nice for St. Louis as well. But let's look at the last five games of Robert Thomas's season here. 9 points, 2 goals, 7 assists. Very nice. Big time deployment. 21 and a half minutes over that time. But, you know, in Rob Thomas fashion, 236th in shots and goal per 60. That's not good. And 270th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. So he's never been a big shot generator or chance generator. And that's why I'm usually out on Robert Thomas, but he's a very efficient player and he's been doing it all season. This is just one of those guys. He's on a heater and he might be on a heater all season. Like, he's a very talented offensive player. He's playing with good line mates. You have access to a guy like Kyrou, and Buchnevich is a very efficient player as well. So it's just wild stuff. But I mean, you look at Robert Thomas, 93-point pace. I don't think that makes no sense to me. Like, the metrics that Robert Thomas has in the last five games are better than the ones he had all season. Like, on the season, he's 366 in the NHL in shots and goal per 60. That's not good, right? 309th in individual scoring chances for. So there are a few red flags here. To me, he's a sell high, but why? Why would you sell high, right? At this point of the year, like, this guy's, he's popping off. Like, and unless you can get like a really nice piece in return, I'd just hold on to Robert Thomas and enjoy the production. But like I was saying, there's a couple red flags there. Like, his shooting percentage and his IPP, they're just going bonkers right now. You know, but his on-ice shooting percentage is actually low at 5-on-5, which is interesting. So that says to me, this is a player that maybe is turned a corner, like a small corner in his career, and he's driving offense a lot more, right? He's required to be the one to drive that offense, right? Because his line mates aren't exactly doing it to the level that he is. So that said, he's redlining to me, and at some point, you know, there will be a regression there. But, you know, just keep riding it. I think that he's going to smash his previous power play points total, which was 22. He's already at 17 power play points this year. So that's great. 93-point pace currently. I don't think that's going to happen, but I could see 80-point Robert Thomas without really batting an eye, which is really nice for a player that you probably got on the waivers earlier this season. He was on the waivers. We talked about Robert Thomas early on. So hopefully you grabbed him and held on. I've got him in two spots and I'm loving it. I don't love Matchbox 20, but here we are. Let's move on. Got to talk about Brandon the Bagel Hagel. What's this man doing? For God's sake. 14 points in the last 9 games playing line two, power play two in Tampa. I don't know. He's who does he think he is? Matt Duchene? I mean, damn. Maybe we'll talk about him later. But yeah, there have been some interesting players like this. Brandon Hagel, Matt Duchene. Guys just popping off without really getting that true number one deployment. And how are they doing it? Like, if we dig in on Brandon Hagel, first off, you know, he has 8 points in his last five, which is nice, but he's still getting a ton of minutes, right? And I think when you got guys like this getting these kind of minutes, obviously the coach trusts them in crunch time, trusts them to play defense, right? Like, the exact opposite of a guy like Brandon Hagel would be like Andre Kuzmenko, right? Where he's not trusted to be out there on the ice in important situations, where when you got a guy who's playing 20 minutes, yeah, the coach is like, get out there. I need my best guys out there doing their thing. So that is a kind of a feather in Brandon Hagel's cap, and it's going to keep his floor really solid if he can keep that deployment. But his metrics pretty reasonable over the last 5 games, 107th overall in shots and goal per 60, 108th in shot attempts per 60, and 99th overall in individual scoring chances for. All the while, he's shooting 20% over that time. So yeah, redlining a little bit, but the numbers are absolutely reasonable. This guy's on a 76-point pace, line two, power play two. That's wild stuff. I mean, it's not a player I'm super excited about, but obviously he's bringing more to the table than just fantasy production or like his numbers, his shots and his chance generation, right? This guy's out there in important moments and he's trusted on this team. So yeah, I don't have a huge take on Hagel. I don't think that the pace that he's on right now, 76, that makes no sense. I could see 65. 65, Brandon Hagel. I mean, he got 64 last year. Okay, let's give it to him. He's playing a little bit better this year. Maybe 70, maybe, right? And that's kind of on the back of this crazy deployment because he's not getting power play time. His shooting percentage is down. He's shooting a little bit more this season, which is nice. But yeah, it's just one of these players that's having a great season and he's getting featured a little bit more on that team. So definitely someone who's on a roster. It'd be nice if they popped him up to power play one, but he's obviously getting the job done where he is. So kudos to you, my man. Let's move on. Got to talk about, Brandon Hagel. Got to talk about Matt Duchene. Was that Duchene again? We all know it was Duchene, buddy. Shut the hell up. It was Duchene. Okay. Anyone who doesn't know what that is, that's a reference from Don Cherry's Rock'em Sock'em, like 4 or something, but it was referencing Steve Duchene. Steve Duchene did some shady crap, at the bench. And was that Duchene again? It was. So I don't know. God, I hate explaining my jokes, but I'm by myself. I don't have Nate. I need to do this. So let's talk about Matt Duchene and what he's bringing to the table. First off, 9 points in the last 4 games. He just keeps going. And this is a guy I've talked about at length, that it's going to fall off. And I really do still believe that. But at some point, you're just like, this is the player he is this season, right? He's been able to have this kind of production through, 50 some odd games of the season. So how's he doing it? Well, let's find out. So in the last 5 games, just over 16 minutes average time on ice, right? That's not great. That's not a priority player that you're looking for, but a guy who's popping off like Duchene, yeah, that's a priority player. He's on an 84-point pace, but he's only getting 16 and a half minutes time on ice in a game. So yeah, he's getting put in good positions out there. That's for sure. 213th shots a goal per 60, 188th in individual Corsi 4 per 60, and 270th in individual scoring chances for. Yet his IPP over the last 5 games, 82%, not sustainable. Shooting percentage, 44.4%, not sustainable. All right. And on ice shooting percentage, 21.6%, not sustainable. Right? Right? It should not be sustainable, but he's been doing it all year. So, I mean, at some point you got to just tip your hat to this guy. Like he's having a great season and he's done it in the past, to be honest. He's pacing for 84 this year after a 65-point pace last season. But, his season in 2021-22, he had 86 points in 78 games. That's a 90-point pace. So he has done this before, but it's all in the back of crazy efficiency. And in that year in 2021 with Nashville, he also had 16 power play goals and 29 power play points. That's not happening for him this year in Dallas, right? He has 5 power play goals and 12 power play points. So let's say he gets up over 20 and, maybe 10 goals, 20 power play points. That's still not even close to what he was doing with Nashville there. So yeah, there's some things that are just redlining. His shooting percentage, 19.1%, highest of his career, right? On ice shooting percentage, at all strengths, highest of his career. There are many things that it doesn't make sense, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you like, get off Duchene. Like, no, they're almost prioritizing Duchene's line of Duchene, Marchment, and Sagan's. Like he's on power play 2, Matt Duchene, but sometimes it feels like power play 1. They're the ones getting, big minutes here. So anyways, long story short, I'm still not in on Duchene. I don't have him anywhere, but you got to love this type of production. And if you're looking for a sell high, Duchene is the epitome, right? What could you get for Matt Duchene? I don't know. Because to me, this was a waiver wire guy that you picked up. Maybe you drafted late, but now he's pacing for 84 points and he's not slowing down. Like he's on a heater, 9 points in 4 games. That's nuts. So I would definitely be dangling Matt Duchene in trade pieces before your trade deadlines here. See what you can do. See if you can get a player that is more consistent with his metrics and has better deployment. That's the really big piece with Duchene. I don't mind the metrics and like high efficiency, but he's only getting 16 minutes and 53 seconds average time on ice. That's second line minutes, right? And he's doing great. He's doing amazing with that, but that's second line minutes. And when push comes to shove, when the games are on the line, they're going to be putting out their studs, right? They're going to be putting out that top line, I would think. So I don't know. My 2 cents, I would be looking to sell high on Matt Duchene, but if you can't make a deal, like just enjoy. This guy's having a great season. All right. We're talking about Matt Duchene. We got to quickly talk about Mason Marchment as well and what he's been doing on that line. How about 13 points in his last nine games for Mason Marchment? And his deployment's even worse. You know, like, this line is great. It's probably the best second line in hockey, to be honest. Mason Marchment has 8 points in his last five. He's playing less than Duchene. So 15 and a half minutes over those five games, 156 overall in shots and goal per 60, 329th in individual Corsi 4 per 60. Ew. 319th in individual scoring chances for? No. All right, this is garbage stuff, but the line's cooking. There's no question there. And his on-ice shooting percentage is 23.5, which is even higher than Matt Duchene's. So that's all going to come down. That this makes no sense. But, I mean, as it stands, Mason Marchment is on a 70-point pace. That's that's a spicy meatball right there. I don't know a lot of people that called that. This guy got 31 points in 68 games last year, right? And now he's got 46 and 54. He's really found his stride there. That line is amazing, as I said, in Dallas. But again, look at what's happening here, right? Again, his on-ice shooting percentage, highest of his career, highest it's ever been, his actual shooting percentage, obliterating his old numbers. He's shooting at 17.6%, whereas he shot 8.1 last year. So he's more than doubled his shooting percentage over 1 year. He's shooting less. He's getting less scoring chances, but he's getting more goals and more points. So something's got to give. And plus, he's on power play too as well. That doesn't, you know, he's got a 29% power play share on the year. It's just not inspiring stuff. This guy's a streamer to me, but how can you call this guy a streamer when he has a 70-point pace? Right? Like, he's got to be on our roster until this starts to fall off. But, and I really do think this is going to fall off. I think Matt Duchene has much more name recognition than Mason Marchment, but they're both sell highs to me. If you can package up Mason Marchment in a 2-for-1 deal for somebody, that's a little bit more exciting. Again, with more deployment, it's the deployment of this line, not so much what's going on under the hood, the deployment that's really giving me pause with these two players. So, see what you can do. See if you can get someone with really good metrics. How about a guy like Owen Tippett? Would someone trade Matt Duchene for Owen Tippett? Would someone do that? Maybe, right? Like, those are the type of guys I'm sort of looking at. I was going to say Konechny, but I don't think there's any chance of that happening. But a guy like Owen Tippett or even Dylan Cousins. Ooh, Dylan Cousins for Mason Marchment. Would someone do that? I'd do that. I'd take the Cousins side on that, right? Because I just really don't trust Mason Marchment's production and, you know, to a lesser extent, Matt/Steve Duchene. All right. But there you go. Those are my takes on those players. If you have them, I'm super stoked for you. You're getting amazing production from those players. All right. Couple more players. I want to talk about, hey, neighbor, Jake Neighbors. All right. He's doing pretty well in his own right in St. Louis there. And he's kind of walked into some opportunity there. He is currently on line two with Braden Schenn, but he's occupying a spot on power play one. And that's a really nice place to be currently with this team. Sorry, I had Jake Neighbors up here. I got to pull this up. It's good podcasting, everybody, but, you know, this is the situation. All right. So, yeah, Jake Neighbors, 39-point pace on the season, but 19 goals. That's nice. What's he been doing in the last five games? Let's look in there. 7 points in the last five games, 4 goals, 3 assists, and some really nice numbers under the hood here. 43rd overall in the league in shots and goal per 60 and 35th overall in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. Individual Corsi, 4 per 60, 146. So, you know, he's still looking good there. But again, his shooting percentage as well, like I said, with the 4 goals, he's shooting 26.7% over those last five games, right? And these metrics that I just described over his last five games, it's not corroborated over on the season total, right? But this is a player that now has an increase in opportunity, right? St. Louis power play starting to cook, and Jake Neighbors is on there. So I think this guy's a spec ad. You could definitely do worse. Jake Neighbors is a beefer as well. 94 hits in 54 games. That's awesome, right? This guy's crushing out there. 34 blocks, too. That's no slouch. So this is a viable player, a very viable player. And when St. Louis has a good schedule, I think that this man should absolutely be rostered. And he could potentially be rostered right now, you know, like a sneaky little pick. You know, I wouldn't go way out of your way to go acquire this man. Like, he's 18% rostered on Yahoo, so he's out there. but can certainly help your club. And if he's going to continue to get this deployment, I think he's an add. My two cents on that. Last guy we got to talk about, Bowen Byram of the Colorado Avalanche. And this has been really nice to see. This guy's got 6 points in his last three games, 4 assists, 2 goals. Got another 2 assists tonight included in that, those 6 points. It's been a rough season for Byram. Obviously, he's been injured at times. This guy has a pretty extensive injury history. I know Nate and I took a little bit of heat at the beginning of the season calling Byram, kind of a target or a sleeper to watch, right? And I still believe that, but I mean, this season's kind of a wash. It hasn't really worked out to plan. And the truth is he's behind in the pecking order there. Like, you got Devin Taves, you got Cale Makar, and maybe even Girard over top of him, maybe Manson. I don't know. Like, even with this production that Byram has had, he's still getting really stinky deployment. Like in this 3-game streak where he's got 6 points, the first game he had 18 minutes, 42 seconds, 18:05 in the second game, and then just 16:53 in this game here. So while I'm happy for the production, that time on ice is really not going to cut it, right? And it's going to really cap his ceiling. So that's it too. I saw a really interesting tweet just recently here from Colorado beat writer Evan Rawl. He said that Byram spent some time with assistant coach Nolan Pratt there in Colorado. Basically, the assistant coach said that he's in a rut and kind of took him aside, and they went through a bunch of video, watched some, video review of his play. And the coach stated that he noticed the difference immediately with Byron's play. This guy's more engaged, and obviously, the points are coming. So just something to think about. I love little tidbits like that from beat writers. It's one of the great things about being on Twitter and following these beat writers is you get a kind of a holistic view, right? Like, I find myself sometimes getting into the numbers so much where I'm forgetting about, the surrounding environment and circumstances as well, because those are honestly just as important, right? Like, if you know what's going on with the player and in their life, you can sometimes extrapolate that, maybe that's affecting their on-ice play, right? So, that said, Byram's had a little bit of a rough season, but don't look now, folks. He's pacing for 32 points. That's not too shabby. He had 24 points last season in 42 games. That's a 47-point pace. His time on ice has gone down this year. That's been the big issue for him. But everything else is looking good. His shooting percentage is right in line with what it normally is. He's a very efficient shooter from the back end. It's crazy. He's not hitting as much as he normally does. So that's a little bit disappointing. Like, some of the periffs that are a staple in Byram's game aren't really happening, but it is what it is. I think this is a player that's probably still a year or two away from really popping, and he's got to stay healthy for a season. Cause I think, he's probably always playing through something, but it's nice to get 6 points here in the last 3 games. Could be a nice little add if you're looking at picking up a Colorado D-man. Okay. All right. Before we move on to the have-nots, I got to just plug the Discord again. Definitely click the link in the description. I've been having awesome conversations in there. And this has been a great year for our Discord, honestly. Like, we have a lot more people, but we have a lot of good people in there, active people that are, like, I noticed last year with our Discord that, after kind of the halfway point of the season, the activity really trailed off. Whereas this year, it's ramping up. We are getting a ton of activity on there, lots of trade questions. So get in there. You can ask anybody questions and you'll no doubt get some answers and some clarity on what you're looking for. And myself and Nate are in there as well. And Josh. So get your biscuits in there. All right. That's our Discord. I do want to plug as well. I've been talking about this man singing his praises, 18 skaters over on Twitter. His name is Mark Barber, and he's kind of our analytics guy here. He's amazing. He produces daily summaries for the Apples and Genos website. So you just click over to applesgenos.com and you can get these daily summaries where he's basically putting all these metrics in one sheet. So after each day, you'll get the sheet and it'll tell you, whatever you're looking for. So, shot attempts, actual shots, power play time. It's really well laid out. And I think it's just vital reading for you if you're into fantasy hockey, and you can just read it first thing in the morning and have a real good idea about what happened the night before. So shout out to you, my man. Definitely check that out. Also give him a follow over on Twitter at 18 skaters and the Apples and Genos Twitter as well retweets all of those daily summaries. So there's lots of places you can find that. Apples and Genos does have a Patreon. You got to get your biscuits in there. I would definitely recommend, you know, the highest tier, which I call the friendship experience tier with Nate. I've been paying for that. I basically pay Nate like $1,000 a month just to be my friend. And you know what? I would never change that. All right. That is money well spent. But in all seriousness, yeah, Nate does a lot of good work there with the Patreon. You know, there's a couple tiers you can get your teams looked at. I think on the lowest tier, you get access to the patron only section in our Discord, and Nate will answer every question that you ask. So he's very generous with his time. All right. Calf implants, he's up in space and he's still answering questions on the Discord. What an absolute unit. All right. And then lastly, please, if you haven't so far, go and rate the pod. That if you want to help Apples and Genos out, seriously, I said Apples and Genos. Maybe we should think about changing that. I know we're toying with the idea of Chuck and Pucks. Apples and Genos? Oh, God, that's terrible. I don't know. this is when I'm by myself, it's, you know, things go off the rails. And yeah, I'm salty as well. So there you go. But please, if you want to help Apples and Genos out at all, you can rate the pod. That would really, really help us out. The more ratings we get, the algorithm works. It sends it out, you know, to more people, and it comes up in people's feeds. I don't understand. All I know is my phone listens to me, and, you know, I get a lot of adverts for, you know, what the hell? Umbrellas. Why am I thinking of umbrellas? I don't know. I talk about umbrellas all the time. You ever seen that Seinfeld where Jerry was like an umbrella twirler? Well, I've been, you know, feeding my phone some misinformation just to see if I can get some ads for umbrellas, and I did. All right. So it does exist, everyone. That's a complete digression there. It makes no sense. Let's move on to the have nots. Here we go. First one we're going to talk about is Brock Besser. All right. What is this man doing? Earlier in the year, I really did talk about Brock Besser as someone that was massively overachieving. And, you know, that's been the case so far. I think this is reasonable that Besser has kind of gone ice cold here. I think he's pacing for sort of what he should, to be honest. I could still see his shooting percentage come down a little bit, actually. Like right now he's shooting 20.4%, which is, that's ludicrous, right? His highest overall before this point was 16.3%. That was in 2020, right? So he's shooting 20.4%. He's shooting the lights out. I don't expect that to continue. He's on a 79 point pace. I do expect that to come down a little bit, but I don't know. Besser's access to that top power play is massive, and it really keeps his floor sky high, right? So, but I mean, let's take a look at what Besser's been able to do here in the last little bit. In the last five games, Besser's got zero. He's got donuts, 0 points in five games, still getting good deployment, you know, 18 and a half minutes. And the numbers aren't terrible for Besser. Now that I'm looking at him here, 117th overall in shots and goal per 60, 47th overall in individual Corsi 4 per 60, 29th overall in individual scoring chances 4 per 60. But I mean, donuts across the board, it's not looking good, right? So that said, I think we all know that Vancouver, at some point, this PDO bender that they're on is going to kind of fall off a little bit. And I think Besser's, you know, one of the first casualties of that, right? The shooting percentage going down makes total sense. But, you know, that all said, I could see 70-point Besser. I could see 75-point Besser. That makes sense to me. But, you know, he was on a 90-point pace at one point this year. That does not make sense to me. So, yeah, take it for what it is. Obviously, you're holding Besser. Like, there's no question. He's got an amazing playoff schedule. He's got access to that amazing power play. And I do think the points are going to be coming back. But he could be a streaky player at this point in his career as well. All right, move on over to the Zucchini Man. Yeah, Matt Zuccarello. Not really, you know, popping off like we know that he can. 1 point in his last five games. He's on a 73-point pace, though. Like, that's pretty damn good. He had 67 points last year in a year that I thought he was really going to fall off, and he honestly didn't because of his, again, he's like Besser, like his access to that power play there in Minnesota, that's what really keeps his floor up. So currently he's playing line two with Marco Rossi and, I was going to say Ryan Johansson, Marcus Johansson, but he's still getting that power play one, right? And he's cooking there most of the time. So, you know, long story short, with the Zucchini Man, Matt Zuccarello, I'm not concerned at all. The metrics are never amazing, but, you know, in the last five games, 186 overall in shots of goal per 60, 145th in individual Corsi 4, and 301st in individual scoring chances 4. That's not awesome, right? But you know, it's going to come back around. Minnesota has been playing decent. And now that he's moved down the lineup a little bit, that will affect things. Like, one of the major beneficiaries of Zuccarello being moved down the lineup is obviously Boldy's been playing out of his mind. Joel Eriksson Ek having an insane season. So, you know, things are working for them to some degree in Minnesota. So I don't really see Zuccarello making his way back up to that line unless they go, you know, in a deep slump here. But they've been putting some points on the board, so I like that. But as far as Zuccarello goes, 73-point pace, I think that's reasonable. I think we'll see 65 to 70 points, Matt Zuccarello. I think he does have a little bit of room to go with his goal scoring. Like, he's shooting 8% right now, where, you know, he hasn't shot under double digits in the last five seasons. So I don't see any reason why he would. Yeah, he's 36 years old, but he's a smart player and he's been playing the same way for a long time. So I'm not concerned at all for Zuccarello. Just manage your expectations, right? He's not on the top line anymore, but 73-point pace, it actually seems pretty reasonable. So there you go. Let's talk about Big Gino, Evgeny Malkin. Just 1 point in his last five games. Ugly stuff for Malkin, actually, and the Penguins. Boy, they took a rough loss here tonight. They were up in the game. Tristan Jarry was playing amazing, and then LA came back and just broke their back with a shorty by Adrian Kempe. So tough loss for Pittsburgh. Their time's running out on their season there. I think they're 7 points out of a wild card spot. So, yeah, they need some dubs, and this was one they had that they sort of let slip away. But in terms of Malkin, he's back on power play one. There was a little time there where he wasn't getting that power play one deployment. They were sort of messing around because Pittsburgh's power play has been awful this year, which is such a surprise when you bring in a player like Erik Karlsson. You think the power play gets better, not worse, but that just hasn't been the case. So again, with Malkin though, like 22 minutes he played tonight. That's great. That's what we want to see. So I'm not at all concerned about his deployment. He did have in the game tonight, 4 shots on goal, right? 2 blocks. Like he's still doing stuff out there, but you know, he himself has admitted that he's an older player now and he's had to change up his game. He said something like, you know, he's not zipping around like he used to, or he can't skate the way he used to. So he's had to alter his game a little bit. And that's evident out there, but he's better than what he's showing right now. Currently, Malkin is on a 65-point pace, and I think this should be closer to 75. I think 70 to 75 points for Malkin rest of season makes sense. A lot of his regression has come from that power play. Like last season, he had 36 points on the power play, including 11 goals. This season, 3 goals and 12 power play points in 52 games. Like that's shocking, right? What they're doing there. So you know, all this to say, I'm not concerned about Malkin, but it is frustrating. You know, I wonder if he's playing through an injury or something like that. I remember him saying something like that as well, where, yeah, he says he's fine, but he's not, he's kind of just lumbering around out there. So I don't know, my 2 cents on Malkin. I think I'm not too concerned, but it is concerning for Pittsburgh as a whole that they just can't get it going here. All right. Let's talk about Drake Batherson. Do we have to? It's been rough. I've got him in Kakupful and he's really been pissing me off. It especially this week. This was a really rough week and Drake Batherson did absolutely nothing. So, and I'm sure he cares because yeah, he cares about our fantasy teams. I don't know, but it was a good game for him yesterday against Chicago in terms of deployment. He had 20 minutes, 52 seconds. So just under 21 minutes. That's what you want to see for this player. Although, you know, his power play percentage, he was on the second power play there. And that's, you know, when they're changing things up, you got a new coach in there. Like, I think that has really affected Batherson's efficiency, right? Like he's top 6 power play 2 though. They got Tarasenko and Timmy Stutz on power play 2 as well. The line mates are good, but he's just not getting that power play time on ice. And I think that is something that really propped him up last season. Like if you look at what he was able to do last year on the power play, I think he had 29 points on the power play, including 14 goals. Again, this year, 3 goals with 11 power play points. It's very similar to Malkin, actually. If you look at his last 5 games and the metrics underlying, they're putrid. They're terrible. And they have been on the season. Like he's a metrics guy. He's a guy that we actually liked for what he's bringing to the table. But this year, it just hasn't been the case. Last 5 games, 321st overall in shots on goal per 60, 365th in shot attempts per 60, and 333rd in individual scoring chances for per 60. Just ugly numbers, right? And on the season, it's a little bit better, but you know, what have you done for me lately? How about 1.5 games? That's no good. And you're being moved down the lineup. So I've had some questions about dropping Drake Batherson, and I think it's reasonable. Like, especially at this time of year, if you got to get some wins going, I think dropping Drake Batherson is an option. I'm considering it, but I have worse players on my team to drop. So I'm going to keep riding with Batherson for now, because I do think, you know, in the right scenario, this guy can pop off. Like, he's, you know, he's frustrating us right now, but he's actually on a 63-point pace. He only got 62 points last season, right? But he's kind of doing it in a different way. Last season, it was all about the power play production. This season, he's getting more production at even strength and less on the power play. So very strange. His ice time has gone down. It's all over the shop. You got a new coach in there. It's really hard to extrapolate what's going on with Batherson currently. So, but yeah, if you need to drop him, I think he could be approaching that territory. But as always, it depends on the ad. You don't want to drop Drake Batherson for like just some lame streamer. You know what I mean? Like a Dylan Genther or something like that from Arizona. No. But if you got a player that you think you might be or that might be a streamer with benefits, I think Batherson could be a drop in the right situation. All right, let's talk about Kevin Fiala. This guy's been tooting in our faces too. Last five games, 0 points. I've got him in a spot. Yeah, it's been rough. But obviously, LA has not been playing well, and they got a much-needed victory tonight. So hopefully that equals good things just for the team vibe in general. But yeah, last five games, 0 points. He's playing 16 and a half minutes average time on ice. That's not what I'd like to see from Fiala. 85th overall in shots and goal per 60. That's nice. 103rd overall in individual Corsi 4 per 60 and 164th in individual scoring chances 4 per 60. But yeah, it's a head scratcher to me. Like, where's second half Fiala? We're kind of still waiting on that, right? He's getting a bit more deployment this year than he did last year, but he hasn't been able to, that hasn't translated into more production. So if you dig in a little bit more too, and some of his metrics at 5-on-5, the shots on goal per 60, it's at the lowest level it's been in 5 years. So it's 8.16, which is still decent, right? He's still a good shot generator. The shooting percentage is not great, right? It's 8.25 after, you know, three seasons of double digits. He did have kind of a down season, his first season in LA last year. And the scoring chances are down as well. So, like, it's just kind of the way LA's been, as on-ice shooting percentage as well, as in the toilet. So everything screams positive regression to me with Fiala. So I'm not concerned about it, but this is a really frustrating one because, like Batherson, I would say Fiala is even more. Like, he's not a player you're going to be dropping, right? Batherson, you know, you could argue it, but Fiala, you're not going to drop Kevin Fiala. So you just have to sit there and endure it. And that becomes really rough in fantasy hockey. But, you know, I think there is a little bit of hope here. I think there's a good possibility that he does regress back upwards. He's not shooting well. He's not shooting as much, right? But he's still doing some good work on the power play. I think it's going to come. I'm not super concerned here, but it is frustrating. And that's it for the have-nots, everybody. I just wanted to throw a couple out there. If we didn't talk about a player that you want to hear about, just make sure to join the Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific live stream with Nate and Puzzling Players. Hopefully he's able to make that one. So, you know, just keep an eye on the Apples and Genos Twitter just to make sure that that's still a go. But yeah, before we get into our move of the week and recap the head-to-head streamer deathmatch, we got to talk about a player under the hood that's looking good. And I don't have too much to say about this player. I have talked about him a little bit, but Kyle Palmieri. Why? Like, this is wild stuff. Kyle Palmieri has been playing out of his dang mind, and I'm here for it. So this is a player that I think definitely got a bonus from Patrick Waugh becoming the head coach there. He looks rejuvenated. He's getting reasonable ice time. Although in the outdoor game today, his ice time did go down. He only played 15 minutes, 42 seconds, two shots on goals, two hits. So it wasn't exactly the game that screams good under the hood, like we're saying here. But before that, I mean, he has 5 goals, 4 assists, and 9 points in the last 10 games. He was averaging 17 minutes, 23 seconds average time on ice. And in that time, he's second overall in the league in shots on goal per 60, first overall in individual scoring chances 4 per 60. That is nuts. Kyle Palmieri, everybody. 14th overall in on-ice Corsi 4 per 60 and 6th overall in on-ice scoring chances 4 per 60. So this is just an FYI. Like, Kyle Palmieri is a player that is a streamer at this point, but it's a guy we should be looking at, right? This week in fantasy hockey, I think the Islanders have a three-game schedule, so you don't necessarily have to get off of Kyle Palmieri. Like, I might, especially if you're in a good situation in your league, you might be able to hold on to Kyle Palmieri and just see if he is able to maintain this and keep going with this type of production, because everything under the hood is looking really good. And this is a 10-game sample size we're talking about. Second in shots on goal per 60. Kyle Palmieri. So just a player that you want to keep on the back burner, right? And be ready to pounce, like stream him in, absolutely. You know, if he continues another few games like this, like, it's a player we should be adding. So there you go. He's looking good under the hood. Well done, Kyle. And we got to talk about move of the week here. Nate is not here. He didn't give me a move of the week. So I'll just tell you what I did. I was able to grab Raquel. I got him. Once I heard the Jake Guentzel news, I basically just picked up Raquel right away. I had a move kind of to spare that I didn't need to hold. I was in good standing in that matchup. So I picked up Ricard Raquel, and I think this is going to be a really nice stream going into next week. This guy had a massive game here in their loss, their 2-1 loss. He played 20 minutes, had, you know, a bunch of shots. He was on power play one now as well. So if they hold that, I believe it was Carlson, Malkin, Crosby, Rust, and Raquel, right? So with Guentzel out, Raquel is a major benefactor. So keep that in mind. I think this guy should be rostered until further notice, right? Until we see what happens. But 20 minutes deployment and power play one, yes, please. Even though Pittsburgh's not been great. So yeah, I guess the part of the move of the week is just don't hesitate sometimes. I know we've talked about this before, but I'd rather be the one who picks up a guy and it doesn't work out rather than be the one who saw him there, thought about picking him up, didn't do it, and then someone else got him and got all that sweet production, right? Worst thing to happen is we lose a move and, you know, we have to drop him and pick up somebody else. But Raquel, even in his previous role, is still a reasonable player, right? So if you pick him up and for some reason he doesn't get power play one and 20 minutes deployment, he could still do some stuff for you. And he's obviously ramping up and he's healthy enough to go out and play 20 minutes. So I like that player. Definitely get him on your team. I think Raquel's an ad. Book it. Lastly, we have to recap the head-to-head streamer death match. It was just a barn burner, folks. Nick Schmaltz versus Quentin Byfield. Oh my God. Nick Schmaltz, thanks for coming out, buddy. What, like, instead of playing four games, Nick Schmaltz should have just went on a treadmill in the back and just ran for the entire 60 minutes just to get his cardio up. Cause I think that's what he was doing. He was just out there for a skate. So it was rough stuff. I mean, you know, Nick Schmaltz is a guy that Nate and I talk about quite a bit. It's just, this guy has a lot of upside. He has a lot to offer, but it's been a rough season and certainly a rough week for Nick Schmaltz. So he got smashed. Quentin Byfield didn't do much better, but he got a goal and assist in his four games. So there you go. That means I got the dub and I'm loving it. So now we're 9-8 on the season as it should be. I feel like I'm just going to run out the rest of the weeks. No problem. All dubs for me. So this week we got Nate Boone Jenner. That sounds weird. And I took JJ Paterka, and that's our death match this week. So we're going to be getting the biz. Go Buffalo. I do love Boone Jenner, though. Anyways, thank you so much for listening, everybody. That's all we've got for this episode. Hopefully it brought you some value and helped you get just a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All the advanced stats you heard from today came from Natural Stat Trick, which is a terrific free resource. Many thanks to the band there. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. That's it, folks. Celebrate your day. Bye for now.